Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Friends, welcome back to the Love and Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Falada, and I'm so glad you're tuning into these candid conversations about love, sex, dating, singleness, and marriage. For those of you who don't know me or are tuning in for the first time, I'm a licensed professional counselor and author specializing in relationship issues. I also run the relationship advice blog, truelovedates.com, reaching millions of people with the message that healthy people make healthy relationships. If you've tuned into the podcast before, you know it's a hotline style show, meaning people call in or write in with their relationship questions, and I answer them on this show in short, practical, bite-sized answers. If you have a question that you want me to answer on the show, send it via email or voice memo to Deborah@truelovedates.com or check out my podcast page, truelovedates.com/love and relationships, and I'll do my best to get it answered on one of the episodes. So let's get started. You guys are going to be so excited about the very first guest on season 3 of the podcast. This guest has been highly anticipated, and I can't believe it's taken till season 3 to finally have him on the show, but I guess that's what happens. Life gets away from us. The one, the only, John Falada, my husband.
Hey, hon. How are you?
It's good to have you on the show, finally.
Yeah, I'm excited to finally be on it with you.
And I'm finally glad that we get to cover this subject that we've been talking about and putting out there on social media. Today's subject is something that's close to both of our heart. And so I thought John would be the perfect guest to have talking about how to protect your marriage. We're going to talk about three intruders that can really impact your marriage. And interestingly enough, today I feel like I'm coming to you guys as not a professional, but as a wife, as somebody in relationships, as somebody who cares about my marriage and deals with the hardships that come with marriage and the importance of protecting it. So this is kind of a sneak peek into our relationship, and I'm excited for you guys to finally get a little glimpse of John Falada, because he's usually in the background, right, hon?
Exactly. So
what are you usually doing in the background?
Watching our three kids.
Definitely when I'm podcasting, but technically, you know, like in the ministry side of things, what's your role?
Yeah, I think my role is, you know, first and foremost, loving and supporting you. So I'm proud of all that God's called you to, and it's been fun to see him at work through you and in our marriage and in our lives. And then actually involved with, you know, True Love Dates and all this that's going on. I design the website. I do all the technical back end things. So I'm kind of the behind the scenes guy.
Yeah, he does so much of the behind the scenes. And you guys have heard me say, when it comes to just doing ministry together and doing life together, the importance of coming together in the things that matter. And so one way that John has really stepped out of his norm is by investing 100% into the back end of this ministry, as far as all the technical stuff. And, you know, most, you probably don't know this about him, but most of this stuff he's actually taught himself, because he's in the healthcare profession. He's not in the techie world, but just really learning everything he can about web design and programming and all this computer stuff so that we can actually have this wide-reaching blog ministry at truelovedates.com. So it's so cool that we get to work together, even though we have different fields and different passions, but we get to come together with this passion
I also love working the book table at events.
Yeah, seriously. I was about to say, some of you have actually met him, because whenever I go speak, he's usually with me. We try to make that happen. Actually, we should probably talk about that with one of these points, but we try to make that happen, that he's with me at events so that we can maximize our time together. And it's just fun. It's fun to be together. So we have done this talk actually as a couple, because it's something that we're both passionate about. And sometimes when we cover this topic, we say it's called married couples should always use protection. But sometimes when you say that to a crowd, you get blank stares, like, what are they talking about? And no, we are not talking about protection as in condoms. We are talking in protection as in boundaries and the importance of boundaries in your marriage and your relationship. And when John and I got married, our pastor came up to the front, you know, to do the little sermon before our actual saying of our vows. And he brought these blocks, these little nursery blocks out of his pocket. And John and I kind of looked at each other because we hadn't actually talked about what this sermon was going to be about. And here he is like bringing out nursery blocks. And we're like, what is going on? But his point was that each of these blocks represents a shape that represents a principle in marriage. And the circle was one of the blocks that he brought out, the circular piece. And he said, this circle represents the boundaries, the circle that you need to draw around your marriage from all other things, just you and him inside the circle. And that imagery of a circle has really stuck with me through our relationship. And it reminds us that we always have to draw a line around our marriage. We've always got to protect it from the outside world. And, you know, when you think about a boundary, when you think about a fence, for example, the role of that boundary is to keep the bad things out and to keep the good things in. And that's the role of a boundary. So we're really talking about boundaries in our relationship, in our marriage. And we're going to talk about some practical things that we do in our relationship to kind of protect it from harm, to protect it from crumbling, to protect it from ourselves and our sin nature. And Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. One thing I love about that verse is the responsibility in that word, guard your heart. Nobody else can do this for you. It is our responsibility to guard what God has entrusted us with. So for John and I, that is three specific boundaries that we set up. And we're going to talk about all three over the next few weeks through the Love and Relationships podcast. But today we are specifically going to focus on the first boundary. The first boundary is that we protect our feelings, and we put a boundary around our emotions. Hun, I'm throwing the mic back to you. What are some things that we do, and what are some ways that this topic of protecting emotions kind of resonates with you?
Yeah, I think, well, I think first of all, it's even being aware of your emotions and what does that entail. And I think this idea of boundaries is so key for each couple to discuss in detail amongst themselves, because this is what you were saying earlier. You know, this is what we've come to in our marriage and works great for us. And we're going to give some practical principles. But I think it's important that each couple sits down, figures out together. And a general rule of thumb I take is no one regrets having too much protection or taking too much care. It's usually the opposite, where you look back in hindsight and you say, hey, you know, I wish I would have thought this out better, or I would have been more proactive. Totally. No one ever regrets the opposite.
Totally. So no one says, man, I just wish that we didn't have so many boundaries. Like, that's just not how it plays out.
Said no one ever.
Right.
So, well, I think for men, you know, some of us, you know, we may not be external processors. You know, I don't want to pin men in a certain way, saying, you know, like, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, or any of that, because I think there's a whole spectrum, as you like to talk about, where men and women don't have to be defined by that or society. But I think what can generally be true for a lot of men is you may not be an external processor. You know, depending on how you're raised, what you saw your parents do, how did your dad talk with your mom? You know, you may not be very comfortable in sharing your emotions. It may not have been modeled to you to come home from work and say, hey, this is what I'm feeling today, or this is not just how was my day, but what am I actually feeling underneath that?
Yeah.
And I think the important thing is, you know, whatever emotions you do share. So if you're someone who doesn't share a lot of emotions, you better believe the few times you do share your emotions, it should be with your wife. You know, if you only have a little bit you're pouring out of yourself, you want to make sure your wife is the one receiving that and that you're sharing those specific feelings and emotions. And along those lines, you know, there are some topics and conversations that are meant to be shared with no one other than your spouse. So I think it's real important that, I know practically for me, you know, I set boundaries on where my conversations go. So when I'm talking with someone of the opposite sex, you know, I'm not pouring my heart out about my struggles, my stress, and it can be positive, like exciting news, because those are things where you're going deeper, you're sharing more of yourself, you're connecting in a meaningful way with someone. That's not to say you can't share things with those ever with someone of the opposite sex, but at least for me, I'm very deliberate about where I control those conversations. Something I like to say too, you know, a lot of people like to share things for the sake of sharing. So we might share things that probably is meant for our spouse with someone else.
Right.
Not because we're purposely trying to hurt our spouse or because, you know, we're deliberately doing something, but more a lot of times I feel like people, you know, have you ever had that moment where you felt like, I definitely overshared in that conversation.
Yeah, totally. It's just we're trying to connect. We're trying to make conversation.
It's sharing for the sake of connection. And while, you know, maybe among friends, like if you're with a guy friend or if you're a lady out with one of your lady friends, it can be good to connect. But the problem is that when we share for the sake of connecting, we're giving part of ourselves to someone else. And we're also opening the door for it to go deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important you're cautious with that.
And what you were saying about the depth of that, sharing those emotions. And if you are going to share those emotions with somebody and you don't have many that you're sharing, you better make sure it's your emotions are going where you want them to go, because that's a string of connection.
Exactly.
You know, like a string in Love in Every Season, I talk about the strings of emotional connection and how they weave you together with somebody. So the more you're weaving, the more interconnected you're going to be. And, you know, just a quick reminder for those of you who've never heard me talk about the three levels of conversation. Sometimes I say the four levels of conversation. I'll explain why. But the first level is facts. Those are basic things that you can talk to with a stranger. What's going on outside? What's the weather like? Who played who yesterday in football? Like basic facts. The next level, level two, is a little bit deeper because it's sharing your opinions and your ideas. That's a little bit more of who you are. And when you share those topics, you're giving away a little bit more of who you are. You know, this is what I think about the weather. Here's how I feel about these two teams. These are my opinions about these things. And when you're giving your opinion, you're giving more of yourself. Thirdly is your feelings. Like John was just talking about, when you're stressed, when you're overwhelmed, when you're frustrated, when you're excited, whatever it is, when you share feelings, you're sharing a deeper level of conversation with somebody. And that deeper level is going to connect you to that person. And level four is your faith and deeper spiritual conversations. So even just being cautious with those as well. But, you know, one thing John said at the get-go of this conversation is, for some of us, we're not even aware of our emotions. And it takes that awareness in order for you to be able to protect your feelings, to protect your conversation, to understand how you feel so that you can express it. It takes a level of insight and awareness that some people aren't even giving thought to. So where are your emotions going? We know that in marriage, our emotions are not necessarily going to our spouse, because in a survey I took of 1,000 married people, a majority of those people said that they were connecting with their spouse in a significant way, talking about emotions and deeper things, less than 60 minutes a week. And out of those,
which
is insane, less than 60 minutes. That's like, if you like divide that among 7 days, that's not even 10 minutes a day. And what's crazier is that a majority of them that said 60 minutes, the majority of those, it was actually more like 30 or less. 30 or less minutes a week in quality conversation with your spouse. Your emotional and spiritual world is the most important part of who you are. And without even realizing it, we're giving it away at the expense of our spouse. And, you know, for the women out there, I do want to add a note that sometimes I think, like John was saying a minute ago about how we just connect for the sake of connecting. A lot of times with women, we're also kind of in the habit of venting, or, you know, letting out what's going on, our frustrations. And sometimes something as innocent as venting to your friend or your mother or your sister can release some of that pressure that you that communication pressure, because it's something you should be interacting with your spouse about. But instead, you're releasing that pressure through another means. You're venting it to different people, and then you're not ultimately sharing it with your spouse. It's funny, because sometimes you'll vent something to a friend and then it's like, oh, I don't need to talk to my spouse about this. I feel better about it now. But you actually do need to talk to your spouse about it, because that's something that you need to talk through and work through and deal with. So that is something I think that sometimes we don't take into consideration, of how we give our emotions away without realizing that we're not investing them into our marriage and into our relationship. So anything else you want to add about this subject, hon, before we get into our what we actually do?
Yeah, and I think, as you know, along those lines, as you invest in your spouse with this and vent to them, you're inviting them to be a part of supporting you, loving you, connecting more with you. And that's, I mean, practically as husband and wife, you know, that's someone who should be praying for you with struggles, encouraging you, helping you, sending you a text. Like, that's someone who can be your biggest advocate and your biggest encourager. And why not invite them as a part of that, you know?
Totally. I think that that's something that we take for granted, and we don't take advantage of this built-in accountability that God has given us, this built-in prayer warrior, this built-in partner. And for those of you who aren't married and you're listening to this, guys, that's what it's all about. That's why it is so important to marry somebody who's a believer, somebody who loves Jesus, somebody who is just as passionate about going to God as you are, somebody who is going to pray for you and be on his knees for you and be calling out to God on your behalf, someone who can give you pep talks and encourage you with God's word and listen to your feelings and help you sort things out. Because, you know, if you're married to somebody who's not on the same page as you emotionally and spiritually, it causes so many problems. And so that's why this stuff is so important. So one thing that John and I do in order to make sure that we're giving each other our emotions and we're connecting on a deep level is we have weekly time to connect. And honestly, it's probably a lot more than weekly at this point. So many nights after the kids are in bed, pretty much every night, we sit down on the couch and
utterly exhausted.
And sometimes we'll watch Netflix, but a lot of times we'll turn off the TV and just have couch time where we just sit and talk about life, or sit in bed and talk about life and just chit chat. Isn't that, I just think it's so fun. What do you think?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, when I hear 30 minutes a week, it's like insanity. I mean, I've literally heard that stat probably 500 times at this point, and I'm still blown away, because I can't imagine only spending 30 minutes a week talking to you. Like, it would be utterly crazy to me. Yeah. I mean, our couch time has been fantastic, where we just connect, talk, and it's sometimes real serious. Other times it's fun. Sometimes it's, you know, random things. It doesn't have to be like you have this deep, 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 deep talk where you're like unable to breathe and just so intense.
Even though I'd totally be fine with that as a counselor, but
you would be totally cool with that. And I'd be like, I'm out. I'm out.
You know, it's funny. We'll have to tell them this because, you know, we talk about the levels of conversation, level 1, 2, 3, 4. Guys, I could swim in level 3 for hours. Like, I am just so comfortable with my emotions and talking about my emotions and asking about emotions. I mean, it's part of being a therapist, but it's so funny because sometimes we'll be talking in level 3 and John will be like, all right, we need to come up for air. We've been in level 3 for way too long. And it's true. I mean, sometimes you need to come up for air and just talk about something lighthearted and easy and fun. And that's the whole point of a healthy relationship. Your communication should be hitting all of those levels, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, back and forth through all the different levels. You shouldn't get stuck in a level. And so, yeah, a lot of times our conversations are fun, talking about books we're reading, articles you've read, the latest interest that you've got. John's into a lot of random different things. Lately, it was memory, like learning all about memory and memory championships and, you know, all these interests that he has and just learning about what he's learning about and connecting about that kind of stuff. And then we also have a more serious time that we call our weekly check-in time. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. And even before we go through that, the big thing why it happens is we're deliberate. So if you don't be deliberate about your time, next thing you know, an hour and a half has gone by. You just mindlessly watch Netflix, go to the next show. It's 11:30, 12 p.m. and time to go to bed, you know? Yeah. So unless you take the time, you know, it's just like a Saturday. If you just say, hey, I'm going to wake up, see what happens. The end of the day's over and you didn't accomplish anything. And you're like, what did I do today? You know?
Yeah.
So I would say this check-in once a week literally revolutionized our marriage.
Yeah, I would agree.
I don't know how many years we've been doing it now, but it's been a while.
Yeah, and it's just probably more than 5, close to 6.
Yeah, probably 6 years. So basically every Sunday at 9 p.m., you know, we sit down on the couch face to face, phones are off, TV's off, and it's every Sunday at 9. There is no exceptions. There's no anything we're not doing. So we were really deliberate about that's our sacred time together. And we just check in. So literally we talk about our marriage, like how we're doing, what are our needs being met? Do we have any concerns? You know, we talk about our parenting, you know, how am I handling one of our kids or what's going on? You know, we talk about things that are more awkward to talk about, like what sins are we struggling with? What are some ways we've sinned against our spouse? What are ways that we've done wrong? And it's really just a time where we connect, you know, we work on it, we keep each other accountable, and we just grow. It was super awkward the first few times we did it.
Especially like for you, because you're you're an internal processor. I'm an external processor.
I'm definitely. Like when you're talking about the three levels of conversation, Deb is like one of those free divers who can go down underwater and like hold their breath for 30 minutes in the ocean. And I'm more
emotionally.
And I'm like I'm like our 3-year-old Ezzy with like a floaty in the shallow end who's just like trying to keep above
water.
We've
got to shove you under.
Yeah, I gotta get thrown into the deep end. And that's partly just how I grew up, how I'm wired, you know, the way God made me. And that's part. And the important thing is I didn't stay that way.
Yes.
You know, I'm still
Preach
not.
It.
Yeah, like I'm still growing. And honestly, a big part of my growth has been being married to you, you know, learning to be in touch with my feelings, communicating them, being honest, open. And that's why, you know, this is so key in marriage that you literally sharpen each other. You make each other better. There are different ways I've made you better and ways you've made me better. And so it's just the blessing of marriage and why this is so key.
Totally.
So it was super awkward the first few times. I would say at this point, like there's never any awkwardness. It's just like, this is what it is. This is how I'm doing. We've recently started memorizing scripture and trying to say that back and forth just to add another dimension to it. So I think, and now like, I don't even have to think about it. Like it's automatic. and it happens every week. And before, you know, not I was dreading it, but it was like I was emotionally preparing for it. Now it's just the part of our marriage. Like it's the way we work, and it's such a good and awesome thing.
Yeah. And I love that you said like you didn't stay there. I mean, so many of us say things like, oh, that's just my personality. I'm just wired like this, or even God just made me like this, where, you know, God made us, of course, in different ways, but he made us to let go of our sin nature, which is to isolate and to hide and to not share. And so I love that you said, yeah, okay, this is how I'm wired, but I'm not staying here. Because for anyone out there who's like, I'm not wired like Deb, I can't stay in the deep end for 30 minutes at a time or whatever. You don't have to be wired that way in order to learn and grow and to push yourself. And that's part of emotional maturity and just part of becoming who God made us to be, just emotionally mature, emotionally healthy people. So that is our Sunday night check-in time. And again, like John said, it's totally changed our life and our relationship. And maybe we'll, you know, talk a little bit more about that in this episodes to come. But anyway, that is the first and foremost way that we guard our marriage, is by protecting our feelings and reserving our emotions for one another.
And if you're married listening to this and you don't check in with your spouse, you're not accountable in any way, you're part of the 800 people who speak 30 minutes a week, you know, why not decide this week? This is the week our marriage changes, you know? Yeah. This is the week we decide to be deliberate, we invest, and I would literally just sit down. You know, it doesn't have to be 2 hours. I mean, we've literally sat for 2 hours sometimes. Sometimes it's been 15 minutes, and that's okay. And start slow. Just say, hey, this week, we're setting us apart this time. Let's just sit, and I want each of you to share, you know, what are you feeling? What did you go through this week? What were your struggles? What's one way you sinned that you want to work on and become better? And the more you do it, the more you commit to being open with each other, just the deeper and deeper your marriage goes. And absolutely, there's such freedom and total openness and nothing to hide from your spouse. Like, it's the best feeling in the world.
It really is. And again, it takes work. It takes practice, authenticity about your thought life, your heart life, your mental health, you know, your lust, your sins, your struggles, your weaknesses, what you need prayer for. Like, all this stuff is not easy to talk about, but man, when you bring things to the light, it's so freeing. And there's accountability, there's prayer, there's healing. I talk a lot more about this in my book, Choosing Marriage. I talk about our talk time. I talk about the 5 secrets you should never keep in a marriage. So if you're interested in learning more or you're struggling with this, I really encourage you to check out that chapter of Choosing Marriage. And if you're single and you're listening to this, man, this stuff starts now. Like, if you don't have accountability in your life, you don't have to be married to have accountability. You need to find a friend or a mentor who can walk with you through the journey of emotional health and the journey of learning to bring forth what's inside of you and process it and work through it, whether it be your struggles, whether it be the things you're excited about, whatever it is, learning to live life from the inside out and bringing people, inviting people into your life. Because if you can't invite people into your life as a single person, trusted people, you're not going to be able to invite people no matter what your relationship status is. Something that it's a heart thing, you know, and it's something that takes work and practice. So we're excited to see you guys again next week for part 2 of this episode in ways that we protect our marriage. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, I can't wait. We'll see you next week.
Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast today. It was so fun to chat with you about love and relationships. No matter what your relationship status, if you're looking to go deeper with healthy relationships, I invite you to check out my books, True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, or my brand new book, Love in Every Season. You can find out more information about those, as well as hundreds of articles and in-depth courses over at my blog, truelovedates.com. I love connecting with you. So please find me on Facebook or Instagram at True Love Dates and give me a shout out. If you have a love and relationship question on your mind, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/love and relationships. If you're loving what you're hearing on this show, be sure to subscribe and leave us your 5-star review because it makes all the difference in getting the word out. I'm Deborah Falada, and it was so great being together again today, and I can't wait to chat with you next week. Take care.